Welcome and Sabbath blessing to each and every one of our dear brethren that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening over the phone and also over the radio and later on recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on this rainy but very cool Sabbath. I hope and pray that you have a lovely Sabbath in your neck of the woods. On this Sabbath, May 23rd, 2020, this is our part two review of our chapter from last Sabbath. Lesson 304, entitled The Temple Cleansed Again, Part 6. And if you would like to join in the singing of the hymn, you can unmute your mic to do so. The title of our hymn for our team is entitled Jesus Paid It All, number 184. I heard a Savior say, Thy strength in thee small, child of weakness, wash and pray, find in me thy all in all. Jesus paid all to him my own. Sin had left for grace don't stay, he washed it bright as snow.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leprous spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Since nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's lamb. Jesus pay it all to him I owe. Sin have left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, I lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Sister Yiyi. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones. If we can all bow our heads. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we all join here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask that you may be able to be in our presence. Help us that we may be able to carry out this meeting, Father, to your honor and glory. May you open hearts and ears to hear, Father Jesus. May you give the power through the Holy Spirit to be able to bring the Word of God deep into our heart soil. Also, Father, we need thy power to be able to bring them into practical use. Father, thank you for choosing us for this time. For we know, dear Lord, that your design has everything to do with why we are here and why we are living in this time. Please, Father, we pray that you may equip us, help us, sanctify us, Father Jesus, and bring us forth as polished stone, dear Lord, that we may be able to carry forth this message of salvation, not only speaking, Father. We are asking that you may be able to take a hold upon us and shape us, Father Jesus, and make us worthy to be able to be in this temple made without hands. As the children's story is talking about, Father Jesus, there is a warning as it was in the past for this future as well. Help us, dear Lord, that we may be able to be sheep, to be able to carry ourselves, Father Jesus, to be led by our shepherd. We thank you for the privilege for waking us up this morning, dear Lord, for giving us one more day to work out our salvation. Bless all the precious little one in our midst, Father. Every family member within the household, if there's any melody, Father, physical, spiritual, or even emotional, dear Lord, I pray that you will bring them rest, that you send your Holy Spirit to be their guiding Godhead in their home to bring about peace, sanctification, Father Jesus, and righteousness through your merit, Father, which is the only way that we can present ourselves before our holy God. We thank you, dear Lord. Forgive us for our sins and our iniquity and our shortcoming. Forgive us for our unchristlike spirit, Father Jesus. Forgive us for every deed done in this body, known and unknown, conscious and unconscious. We plead the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you and invite you in, Father Jesus, that you may sit and sup with us. Take us into higher planes. It's my prayer this day, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Our opening verse for our review lessons are taken from James chapter 1, verse 17 through 20 in the King James Version, and it's also a memory song. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beguiling us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So what have we learned in ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear your question, your comments, your thoughts, anything that you would like to share with your remnant family, dear ones, let's take a few minutes to review what you have read from last Sabbath from our part one of our lesson entitled The Temple Cleanse Again. That's part 6 in our study book, Desire of Ages. If anyone of the dear remnant family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken, carried down in prophetic vision to the first advent. And on this slide it says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, That's from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. And then also it says, "For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them." Margin. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, King James Version. Next slide, please.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Desire of Ages, page 598, continuing your reading. The prophet has shown that Christ is to bear the trials and tests of which treatment of the chief cornerstones in the temple of Solomon was symbolic. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, "Behold, I lay in Zion for the foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make it haste." Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13 through 15, chapter 28, verses 16. And on the slide, it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Next slide, please. In infinite wisdom, God chose the foundation stone and laid it himself. He called it a sure foundation. The entire world may lay upon it their burdens and griefs. It can endure them. With perfect safety, they may build upon it. Christ is a tried stone. Those who trust in him, he never disappoints. He has borne every test. And on the slide, it says, "Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God."
The Desire of Ages, page 598. "He has endured the pressure of Adam's guilt and the guilt of his posterity, and has come off more than conqueror of the powers of evil. He has borne the burdens cast upon him by every repenting sinner. In Christ, the guilty heart has found relief. He is the sure foundation. All who make him their dependence rest in perfect security." Desire of Ages, page 598, paragraph 2.
In Isaiah's prophecy, Christ is declared to be both a sure foundation and a stone of stumbling. The Apostle Peter, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, clearly shows to whom Christ is a foundation stone and to whom a rock of offense. Desire of Ages, page 599, paragraph 1.
The Desire of Ages, page 599. "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture." On the slide it says, "And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Next slide, please. "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made a head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient." 1 Peter 2, verses 3 to 8, and this is from Desire of Ages, page 599, paragraph 2.
Continuing the reading. To those who believe, Christ is the sure foundation. These are they who fall upon the rock and are broken. Submission to Christ and faith in him are here represented. To fall upon the rock and be broken is to give up our self-righteousness and to go into Christ with humility of a child, repenting of our transgressions and believing in his forgiving love. And so also it is by faith and obedience that we build on Christ as our foundation. Desire of Ages, page 599, paragraph 3.
The Desire of Ages, page 599. Upon this living stone, Jews and Gentiles alike may build. This is the only foundation upon which we may securely build. It is broad enough for all and strong enough to sustain the weight and burden of the whole world. By connection with Christ, the living stone, all who build upon this foundation become living stones. Many persons are by their own endeavors hewn, polished, and beautified, but they cannot become living stones because they are not connected with Christ. Next slide, please. Without this connection, no man can be saved. Without the life of Christ in us, we cannot withstand the storms of temptation. Our eternal safety depends upon our building upon the sure foundation. Multitudes are today building upon foundations that have not been tested. When the rain falls and the tempest rages and the floods come, their house will fall because it is not founded upon the eternal rock, the chief cornerstone of Christ Jesus. Desire of Ages, page 599, paragraph 4.
Amen. Good job, everyone. Praise the Lord. Let's continue this verse. With this verse, dear one, to be able to review our section, taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 from the King James Version, and it's also a memory verse song, and it goes like, for sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that scripture, dear ones, what have we learned and ways we have grown? Now it's open if any one of the dear little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to ask any question. May you unmute your mic.
If no one would have their faith in Christ, who is supposed to be the rock symbolized, would anyone who didn't have faith in Christ be considered like dead stones instead of living stones?
Well, Brother Josh, as we have seen in the sixth part of our study, the comparison of Christ being a rock is just talking about the characteristic of how immovable he is. And if we are considered living stones to be able to be part of this temple, that he is the cornerstone, the one that doesn't believe also become a stone. But if you remember when it tells you that the law of God is spiritual, and spiritual law cannot be in a stony heart, so the disobedient will have a stony heart, and they will not have the ability to receive the heart of flesh, which is Jesus' own heart. And yes, it's a type of stone, but as in a metaphor. If there's anyone of the dear brethren that would like to also elaborate on the question, may you unmute your mic to do so.
I have a question, and it's stemming from slide 6, our first slide of the study. So here it says, Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. Can someone please elaborate on what it means to say both the houses of Israel?
Well, dear sister, based on the sixth part that we have in our study, and especially in this slide, I had to examine not only the words, but also what the Lord were speaking, not only to the first advent, Israel, but it goes as far further down to the second advent. So we have the physical Israel, and we also have the spiritual Israel. As you can see, that what the Lord is asking is to sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. And the sanctification back then was based on a physical temple, a temple where without him being the edge of the cornerstone, which is the center of it all, that can be able to allow us to become a living stone, we also are becoming living stone in this time. But this is a temple without hands. So it's to Israel, the houses of Israel, which is physical Israel and spiritual Israel. For those that will either choose him or reject him, as we continue in the reading, where it says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself and let him be your fear and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, for the obedience. In any one of the dispensation, the first advent of the second, he will become a sanctuary for us. But for stumbling and for a rock of offense, both to the house of Israel, spiritual and physical Israel, the first dispensation or the first advent Israel and the second advent Israel. And it says for a gem or for a snare to the inhabitant of Jerusalem. Remember, there is a physical Jerusalem, but also there is a spiritual Jerusalem, and there's a Zion as well. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be a snare to be taken. The reason why I came to understand in this particular slide is because here you have Isaiah, not only giving the message for that time, but also he looked down through prophetic vision to the first advent. And also it is a message for us for this time. If any one of the dear brethren would like to be able to also touch upon the subject, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Amen, dear Sister Rose. And there were, you mentioned physical Israel. There were actually two houses of Israel physically. After the death of Solomon, Rehoboam, his son, took the throne, and he refused to lessen the taxes that were upon the people that Solomon imposed. And in fact, he was going to make it worse. And so you had 10 of the nations of Israel leaving their support for the throne of Rehoboam and establishing another Israel. And they made their headquarters in Samaria. And whereas those that stayed with David, of course, Solomon, Rehoboam, etc., they took Jerusalem as their capital. They stayed there in Jerusalem, was the capital of Israel. And so you had basically two tribes staying with David, and you had 10 tribes leaving and establishing their own kingdom. So two houses of Israel. So that's the physical aspect. And the spiritual aspect, Sister Rose explained very well.
Thank you so much, dear Brother Bob. And I do recall now, this is the two brothers Solomon brothers, which is Jeroboam and Rehoboam, where one of the brothers took two of them and the other brother took 10. And that's when they started to go against God. Now remember, thank you so much, dear Elder Ralph.
And then I have another just observation on the last slide of the study for this one. It says, without this connection, no man can be saved. Without the life of Christ in us, we cannot withstand the storms of temptation. Our eternal safety depends upon our building upon the sure foundation. Multitudes are today building upon foundations that have not been tested. When the rain falls and the tempest rages and the flood come, their houses will fall because it is not founded upon the eternal rock, the chief cornerstone, Christ Jesus. And so here, as I was listening to this, I was impressed that it's not just the physical temple that is here represented, but our temple. That if our foundation with God is not sure, then when temptations come upon us in our day to day, that we will not press forward and look to God, but look to selves and succumb to everything that is happening around us. So I was impressed as I was hearing this and just wanted to share. This is what I have learned from this particular slide.
Amen. Amen. Good point, dear sister. And notice that it says that Christ is the eternal rock. There's other rocks out there. The Gentiles believed, the heathen believed that their gods were their rocks that they could depend upon. And you have people today believing that a man is their rock. They, you know, Peter is the rock, but when you look up the Greek word that Christ used for rock, it's a tiny pebble. So many people still are looking to their rock, whether it's a man, whether it's a church, whether it's self, whether it's public opinion. They all have something they depend upon, but it's only upon Christ, the eternal rock, the God of Israel, that you will find eternal security.
Not just in the church, as so many people believe, not in the church, but in Christ Jesus himself. And that's another just important part that I was impressed to share again.
Is there any other question, comments, and thoughts concerning our study? You may unmute your mic to do so. Meanwhile, you are collecting your thoughts. We have also a hymn that we would like to share with the Dear Remnant family. If any one of the dear brethren would like to take one of the verses, you may unmute your mic to do so.
We'll build on the rock, the living rock, on Jesus, the rock of ages. So shall we abide the fearful shock when loud the tempest rages. We'll build on the rock. We'll build on the rock, we'll build on the rock, on the solid rock, on Christ the mighty rock.
Oh, build on the rock, the living tree, the firm and the true foundation. Its hope is the hope which shall endure the hope of our salvation. We'll build on the rock. We'll build on the rock. We'll build on the rock, on the solid rock, on Christ the mighty rock.
Some build on the sinking sands of life, on visions of earthly treasure. Some build on the waves of sin and strife, of fame and worldly pleasure. We'll build on the rock. We'll build on the rock. We'll build on the rock, on the solid rock, on Christ the mighty rock.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And all the duets also praise the Lord. Well, we have a poem that we would like to share with the room. And it's entitled, Cast Thy Care on Him. This poem was taken from Adventist Review and Sabbath Herald, Babylon 9, dated 1856 through 1857. It is located on page 169, paragraph 226, and also it was on April 2nd from resident editor Uriah Smith. If any one of the dear remnant would like to take one of the verses, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Weary traveler, cast thy care on the Savior. Quickly to his throne repair. He will hear thy humble prayer, always, ever. Amen.
True and faithful is thy friend, ever near. He will watch thee and defend. He'll be with thee to the end. And wipe thy tears.
Or is thy soul by sorrow riven mid sin and care? Hope on, this promise sure is given. The pure on earth shall meet in heaven, no sorrow there.
There is beyond a happier land, far, far from this. Martyrs next the throne will stand. Saints will meet a glorious band. A world of bliss.
As on life's rugged path we go, we'll trust thy love, whatever our lot on earth we know. We soon shall part with all below and meet above.
Then cast thy load of doubt away and never roam. He'll lead thee to the realms of day. He'll guard and lend a beauteous ray to guide thee home.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you so much, dear brethren, for all your participation. If there is any testimony, any stories, any thoughts that you would like to share with the dear remnant family, may you do so at this moment, dear ones. Well, dear ones, we have come to the ending of the first section of our review. And now we ask all the precious little ones to come very near, because it's story time, and our dear brother Grace will be the one to narrate the review section.
Hi, good morning, boys and girls. It's review section here. As I go over this story, you see if you can remember what comes next. All men are drawn to the uplifted Savior. And our verse starts out, and if I be lifted up from the earth, that is when he was hung on the cross, will draw all men unto me. People will learn of his sacrifice and love him and want to be with him. And that was in John 12:32. Don't you like to be around nice people? Jesus is nice. Never before was there such a general knowledge of Jesus as when he hung upon the cross. He was lifted up from the earth to draw all men to him. Into the hearts of many who beheld the crucifixion scene, that was Jesus hanging on the cross, and who heard Christ's words, was the light of truth to shine. Many people went home to search their Bibles to learn what the meaning of that day was all about. With John, they would proclaim, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." They recognized in Jesus' death a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. They didn't learn that from the religious teachers. They learned that in home study. There were those who never rested until searching the scriptures or the Bible and comparing passage with passage or verse with verse. They saw the meaning of Christ's mission. They saw that free forgiveness was provided by him whose tender mercies embraced the whole world. They read the prophecies regarding Christ and the promises so free and full, pointing to a fountain or source of truth opened for Judah and Jerusalem. The sacrifice of Christ was an atonement for sin. He suffered our punishment that we might be saved. It is the great truth around which all other truths cluster or point to. In order to be rightly understood and appreciated, every truth in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation must be studied in the light which streams from the cross of Calvary and in connection with the wondrous, wonderful, central truth of the Savior's atonement. Those who study the Redeemer's wonderful sacrifice grow in grace and knowledge. That's why we spend time in Sabbath school talking about it. We want to grow in grace and in knowledge. I present before you the great, grand monument of mercy. The cross is a monument. It reminds us of Jesus' mercy. The regeneration. We have to be made sinless. Salvation and redemption. That's buying us back from Satan's kingdom of sin. The Son of God uplifted on the cross of Calvary. Period. This is to be the theme of every discourse. This is to be the subject of every sermon. That's what the pastor is supposed to talk about. Jesus is inviting and drawing by his Holy Spirit the hearts of young and old to himself. When Christ crucified is preached, the power of the gospel is demonstrated or shown by the influence it exerts over the believer or has over you and me. In place of remaining dead in trespasses and sins or in the violation of God's law, he is awakened. Lift up the man of Calvary higher and still higher. Talk about Jesus' sacrifice and the gift he offers to you and me, a home in heaven. There is power in the exaltation of the cross of Christ. Sons and Daughters of God, page 221. As we talk about Jesus' sacrifice, we are led to love him more. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John 12:32. That's the end of the review, and I forgot to say that if you had any questions, put them in the room, and I forgot to mark the room, so, oh boy.
I have a question, which is an observation again, if we could go back to the reading. It's funny that the verse here says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." We know that most, from reading the scriptures, that people, basically, it was a spectator, and we know that some people were chanting, basically, to crucify him at that moment. And I wondered how many people there was drawn onto him. But here in the reading, it says, it's not just like a physical drawing where they were going, but draw all men onto me, where they went into the scriptures and they searched scriptures on scriptures, comparing passages and passages, and that they saw the meaning of the mission. So that was a beautiful observation for me. And also, the importance of doing this, of studying thyself to show approve. One thing that came to mind as I was reading this, how is it that so many people are not reading for themselves? If people were reading for themselves and studying for themselves, they would have Christ as their firm foundation and not a secondary through learning through someone else's eyes or someone else's lens. I remember being in the Sunday churches, and instead of going line by line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, the ministers or whomever were doing the ministry at that time will come with said scriptures or passages and hone in on them and take it for what it is. And when people would ask questions, they didn't go line upon line. It was, this is what this was and this is what it means, and take it as that because that's what I'm telling you. And so this was, just came back to me really and truly. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. We have to go to God and study for ourselves, becoming acquainted with God ourselves, attaching ourselves to that true vine, to that living rock, to the true rock, to the foundation rock, to that sure rock for ourselves by the grace of God through obedience, living upon his word, testing it, tasting it, proving that it is true. So that was just my observation here in this part of the study, and that's what I have learned. Thank you for allowing me to share.
All right. Anybody else with any comments or questions? If not, yes. We will hand it back to somebody who knows what's going on here.
Yes.
Oh, Brother Rodolfo, go ahead.
Yes. In my new activity, the Lord has placed upon me of sharing the gospel written, of course, through my cell phone to many brothers and Latin brothers and sisters from all over the Latin American countries. And I was quite surprised, a little bit shocked, having had the expectation of having that relation or contact with people that have no knowledge of me, have never seen me before, and vice versa. Yet, the word of the Lord gave us a very special spiritual connection. No pastor existed, or no layman, or whatever. Just the word that was sent, nourishing them, and they replied back to me. And it was pretty, very special, a very holy and worthy feelings that we both had. And I'm talking about a quantity of people that amazed me to see all of them is into the studies, and they just keep coming in. And those that are studying before, asking for more studies on certain topics. And that has created quite a very special interest, a special, as you would say, where the Spirit of the Lord is doing the connection. And people are really learning and understanding, and some of them hearing for the first time in written phrases, in written topics. And I agree with you, Sister Cece. It is very special to let the Bible, which is the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the Godhead in total, can help us all in giving us the knowledge and the understanding and the guidance to get ahead. And this is what I wanted to share, agreeing with Sister Cece.
All right. Thank you. I guess it's time to turn it back to Rose. Time is fleeing on us here.
Amen. And praise the Lord. And thank you all for sharing. Let us continue. I know we're not going to have that much time, but I apologize. Our closing hymn was going to be sung in Spanish for our dear brethren, but we will ask if they can be able to do it at the end of our study. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Put all bow our heads and come humbly before Godhead to give them thanks and praise and honor. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be our name, thy kingdom come. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Lord, thank you for taking us through another week, dear Father God. Thank you for the many lessons that were wrought. Thank you for the many answered prayers. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us for where we have fallen short. Thank you for healing the sick and afflicted. I pray, dear Father God, that you continue to be with each and every one of us that is here, those that are listening on the phones, those that will be listening to the recording at a later time, and be with those brethren that are not with us today for whatever reason, wherever they are. May you please be with them, dear Father. Guide them and protect them as you do with us all that is here partaking of your word. Truly, dear Father God, let us take time within the week to go and sit with you and sat with you to learn of you, to be able to continue to look up to you in all things. We know that we are on borrowed time, and we know that the only way that our election can be sure is if we are holding on to you and doing our part in this fight, fighting the good fight, dear Father. Please help us to be obedient to your words and to your will and not to get ahead of ourselves. Please, Lord, I pray to continue to bless our endeavors, dear Father God. Help us to be patient and wait upon you in all things. I pray that you please be with all those that are having any type of maladies today, dear Father God, that may not have the courage to cry out to you today, but you know each and every one of our situations, and you know each and every one of our needs and our wants, dear Father God. And I pray that according to your perfect will and your blessed time, that you will please deliver us continuously as you have. Look at where you have brought us from to where we are today, and help us always, even in a moment of doubt, to look at the beginning of our faith and how we have overcome according to your perfect will, and that we are here today standing in your name as overcomers. May we continue to be overcomers according to your perfect will. Help us to be strengthened, dear Father God, for what is ahead, all the uncertainties. We know that we cannot be too sure and that tomorrow is not promised to any one of us, but we pray for life or death that you prepare us, dear Father God, for whatever may come according to what thus saith the Lord. Forgive us once more for where we have fallen short And please be with our minds and our ears and our hearts, dear Father God, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And let our learnings not stop here, but let us be thirsty and be hungered, and let our spirits be shaken, that anything that we may hear today or during this week, dear Father God, that we may come with it to you, open in your treasure book, our Bible, and be able to sit and sap and be in harmony with your Holy Spirit and your heavenly angels and be in your presence. We thank you and we love you for being a perfect example in our lives. In no other name than Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, next Sabbath, by God's grace, that will be May 30th, 2020, we will begin with our new part 7, and that will be our last part 7, and that is lesson 305 from our chapter 65 entitled The Temple Cleansed Again. I hope and pray everyone has been blessed, and may you continue to have this blessed rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.